Hi, folks. This is Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. As always, one man's view of the changing world, the changing times, and the things we can all do to live a better life. If times get tough, or even if they don't. Today is June the 4th, 2024. This is episode 3502 of the Survival Podcast. And today you're going to get the fun day of the month. This is the first Tuesday of the month. That means it's time for the first Tuesday coffee chat with me, Nicole Sauce, and John Willis, and I'll bring that in for you in just a moment. Just real quick before we get started, I want to remind you guys that I'm running a sale on MSB right now. That's right. The Member Support Brigade is normally $50 a year. It's totally worth it, because if you use the discounts, you're going to get way more than $50 a year in discounts. So you get to support the show, and you get your money back. That means you actually make a profit, or at least you have no real cost long term. But right now you can get it for $35 with discount code TSPC. That's right, TSPC. And since the way this one goes is kind of us just rambling on and having a unique chat about a bunch of different stuff, and we really covered a wide variety of stuff today, I'll also remind you at the beginning that you can always help support the show just by starting your online shopping at tspaz.com. That's T-S-P-A-Z, tspaz.com. You start your shopping there, you help us out no matter what you buy. And I'm rerunning today the same item as yesterday because it's on sale for a really great price. It's the Instapot AccuSlim Sous Vide Precision Cooker. The price has gone up a little bit since they had it on sale yesterday, but it's still marked down a bit. It normally sells for about $100 because I price track everything. They have it still priced now at $76. If you didn't get one yesterday, think about getting one today before they go back up to full price. And here's the other thing about it. They took away the sale price, but they also added a coupon. You got to click the box to use the coupon, but it's an extra 15% off. So it's actually less than it was yesterday. So if you didn't pick up one, check it out. You can find the item of the day at tspaz.com or just scroll down at thesurvivalpodcast.com. And with that, let's drop in and let Nicole take the lead in getting us started with our Tuesday coffee chat.
Nothing there. All right.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday Live. We're about to get Jack Spierko unplugged, looking at things he didn't want to look at. Let's start out with the most important thing this morning. John, tell us about your shirt.
It just says, like, acid rain, the kill the polar bears, ice cap's going to melt and wipe out all the coastal cities, you know, peak oil. And then on the back, it just says, all we got was more taxes, more oversight, more government control.
Yep, that's the great in 10 years t-shirt. Jack, what's your shirt and why are you wearing it?
I'm wearing it because John's awesome and I always like to pimp his stuff on these, but it says stop believing in government with the multi-piece snake from the original Revolutionary War flag concept. And on the back it says something like Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and leprechauns have done more for you than government.
Oh, yeah, that's fact. Yep.
Today I'm a tax slave, even though I believe I'm past my tax birthday for the year.
Don't worry. They'll come back and assess some more for
you're
you.
You're still a slave. You're still paying property taxes, sales taxes, energy taxes, existence tax. You know where I'm from?
Death tax.
Little crappy shithole city. They have what's called an occupational privilege tax. And if you live within the city limits, then you have to pay this tax, even if you don't work in the city limits, because it's for the privilege of being able to work in the city of Pottsville. They sent me that bill while I was deployed in the Army. I didn't pay it.
Holy shit.
Like, yeah, I'm in Panama. Go get fucked.
Don't they have travel taxes right now in cities in New York? I think that's like a real thing. It's
really?
I want to say it was $38, $38 a day, I thought.
To do what?
To drive your own vehicle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
How does anybody still live in that place? I really don't. It's the financial capital of the world or whatever. You know, any place with a modem is a financial capital of the world now. Every business that can should leave Manhattan. Every single one. Just pack your shit and go.
you never have the real like, you don't really know when we see the riots, you know, it looks like all of the city's on fire and it's just two blocks.
Yeah.
But it, like, you see a lot of YouTubers that are walking around and interviewing people, man on the street kind of stuff. And dude, there's zombies walking around. It literally looks like Escape from New York with a zombie movie. It is wild.
So when I had New York as part of my territory, I expected the New York City that I always saw on TV as a kid, like the 70s New York. And this was like late 90s, early 2000s. And it was fantastic. It was nothing like what I expected. You could get on the subway. You could go anywhere. So now what it seems like is we've cycled back to the other side of that. And I remember my reps would tell me, like, you're lucky you weren't here 5 years ago. It was really like the end of the 90s where the place got cleaned up. And I guess it didn't last very long.
Nope, it didn't. They did that, the, like, enforcing small violations thing.
Yeah.
Which worked for a bit. I mean, I used to ride on the subway by myself at night. I don't know.
No problem.
No problem. Like, that was recent. No. And it's way more convenient to use their transit system than anything else to get around in the city. Absolutely. I'm not sure why I'd want to drive my car in there.
I would go over. I was out of PA and I would drive over the Tappan Zee into Rye, which is like north of the city. And I would get my hotel there and I would take a train for $6 down in the Grand Central, meet my reps, and we could travel the city all day. And at night, haul ass back up there. It was like a 3-minute walk from my hotel. Nice Marriott. It was great. And that way, the day that I left, I was the fuck out of there without having to go across the GW or whatever. It was not a bad place. It wasn't my favorite place to be, but it wasn't anything like it is now.
Yep.
So we got a new code enforcement guy in town here. I'm not in his city. He has moved here from Chicago and immediately put out a urgent statement that you're not allowed to have chickens in city limits.
Yeah,
he has found a 2006 ordinance or edict or something. And the old code enforcement guy was just like, hey, just have 6 hens. Don't have a rooster. We don't care. And now he has come out with, no farm animals unless you have 5 acres. Chickens are farm animals. And he has 200 some comments on this Facebook post where he's done this, where people are like, you better bring guns. You're not taking my chickens.
Yeah.
You're literally going to die over this. Like, absolutely insane. And we met with a couple of higher level law enforcement dudes here. And I'm like, what's up with your chicken guy? And he's like, man, he's really dug his heels into this. I go, where did he come from? He goes, he has no ties here. He literally has moved here from Chicago. And I'm like, how did he even get the position? And man, he is really stirring it up. And apparently he kind of feeds on this. So Dawn Gorham, she got a wind of this. Like, because, you know, we all showed up at the court there in her county. And she is ramped up and ready to go. Law firm and everything over this.
Oh, yeah. I'll show up to meetings if I can get my butt out there, because that's just not going to work, especially with the way our economy is now. Like, oh, take people's food.
Yeah,
it
was eye-opening to go to this meeting where the mayor and everybody was there in Dixon at Dawn's place. The whole time, these people stood up with their prepared speeches. All he did was bang a gavel. Like, he literally looked at the audience like they were cockroaches. It was absolutely like something out of a movie. He just banged that gavel probably for 3 minutes straight while she was speaking. And then they're like, okay, meeting adjourned. And they shooed the audience out and then proceeded with their meeting.
Yeah. We need some 80s mindset here. When I was a kid back in the 80s, there was a game warden, last name Shikuski, that was one of those, like, I'll get you on anything I can types. And I'm not endorsing anything. I'm just saying that one day, Mr. Shikuski was found walking a remote road, naked, handcuffed with his own handcuffs, and trying to flag somebody down, walking with his hands behind his back. And his vehicle was like 2 miles off that road on a dirt road, and all his stuff was, he was fine. It didn't hurt him. His weapons, all his shit was like locked in his cruiser or whatever. And then he got transferred.
Have you guys seen all the game camera court cases that are going on? Much of that has happened here in Benton County over the last 10 years and is finally making it to court. And the courts are ruling that they cannot come and put cameras on your property. The game wardens say, well, we have to put these things up to find the crime. And they're like, well, why don't you get a warrant? Well, they can't get a warrant because they don't have a crime. It's just a fishing expedition. And many of these cases are being ruled in favor of the property owners. And Sarah, we just had a huge case here at the courthouse here a couple weeks ago, and the judges ruled in favor of the property owners.
This seems like another one of those things that, like, you need to have, like, camera hunt day, like a field day, and all the kids go around. Like, every kid that finds a freaking camera gets a chocolate bar. And then gather up all the cameras, and then you take them out in the street, you throw a little kerosene on them, and then you go, there you go, boys. And then you take the molted holes, and you dump them in front of the game commission office.
So you can find them with night vision, because they have, you know, IR lenses on them. People are grabbing these, and then they are getting executed search warrants on their properties looking for the game cameras, and they're writing them up for stealing federal property. It's pretty crazy, man. When you start unraveling the thread, there are a ton of these First Amendment and these civil rights lawyer channels that are reporting on these things.
Yeah, it's why it has to be everybody at the same time. It has to be in mass.
It has to be in mass.
One person, one off, and all of a sudden they're coming to get you and shit. And, like, I mean, night vision would find, thermal would find it, like, instantly. Yep. They would just show up, like, regardless of whether the temperature's cooler or hotter, it's going to show up like a...
So back to the Camden chicken thing, are you guys able to put ballot measures on your local?
So I have no idea.
That can be done locally in Tennessee, but every county's different. And if we had an off-the-shelf, like, diehard food freedom thing, ballot initiative to put on ballots every time this happens.
Yeah.
Some of the chicken Nazis might decide they're okay with the 6 chickens and no roosters instead of going after that.
You're
going
to make it worse.
Next door now because
you're
going to
make it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think make it worse. Like,
that's a FAFO thing.
We have so many people that have moved here and started, you know, small regenerative farms. Like, I don't think that the normal population here has any idea how many of them there are here.
Yeah, you guys got a pretty cool local food thing starting to happen.
Really do, like on a large scale.
Yeah. And it's getting better.
It is, yeah. Yeah, and you constantly bump into people and they're like, doing the same stuff you're doing. We live 10 miles away from each other for the last 20 years and had no idea that we were even here.
Yeah.
That just gave me an idea. Of course. John, I talk to John, I get 9 more ideas, which is exactly what I need right now.
So, I mean, like, one of the big things I've talked about over the years is mental sovereignty. And if you don't have mental sovereignty, you don't have sovereignty. But I think food sovereignty is a good spike to put in the ground. Because if you don't have food sovereignty, you definitely don't have sovereignty either. Right? Like, if you can't make sure that you're fed without somebody else giving you permission to make sure that you're fed, what do you have? You have absolutely nothing. There is nothing that will turn a person into either a thief, a coward, or both faster than looking at their kid and not knowing if they can feed their kid.
Is that John Dowie right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The John Dowie.
The microgreen mafia, John Dowie.
Man, that is a reality show that would work. David and I spun that up in our head in about 15 minutes one day with riding around with him in his little freaking rape candy van that John delivers the stuff in. We invented all these characters and stuff. Like, he works with this dude, and the guy does maple syrup, so John just adds it to his catalog of offerings. And, like, so we named him Sticky Fingers, and we had all these, like, mafia kind of things going on. Because it was back when, like, the Amish Mafia show actually took off. And you're like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, no, we can go dumber and better at the same time. Like, it would work.
You need a prohibition.
Also, John made one comment. He's like, and he's got that northeastern accent thing going on, you know. And he's like, "Them guys were coming down here trying to take one of my restaurants from me," and it was like, it's like, oh my god, I have the whole thing, and it just started flowing.
You need a prohibition TV moonshiner show that's just moving raw milk.
That would be great.
Hey, Food Forest Farm says we are facing a 1,000-a-day planning code violation for farming without a conditional use permit.
Oh, boy,
coming. That's in Washington State.
It's coming. Washington and Oregon, holy shit.
Is that related to the water stuff that they've been cracking down on now?
And Colorado, and, man, it is coming. It is coming fast.
Colorado is kind of the worst place for the boilerplate shit regulations. I had a guy on the show about a year ago that talked about that. He lives like in like the part of Colorado you go to be left alone. And that's why it had to go there first. Like it, like, and there's tremendous resistance to it, and they're still ramrodding a ton of it through.
So Colorado's where they proved you could turn a state from red to blue by pitting the rural and the urban against each other. That was the testing ground for that.
Yep.
You're going to see all that roll right through here when they four-lane all these roads through here. You're going to have all that federal grant money pushing all those agendas, and when they don't turn those agendas on, that federal grant money is going to constrict, and those politicians aren't going to be able to graft it. They're going to go right lock, stop, like just right in step with it.
They're going a completely different way down here now. Like one of the Texas Republican Party's agendas going into the next legislative session is to basically create an electoral college version of state offices, and not just for governor and lieutenant governor, like for railroad commissioner, land planner, like every state level office. There'll be like you have to have a plurality of counties. If they do that, there will never be a state-level official from the Democrat Party in 20 years. I don't think they'll get it through court, but I know how they could get it through court if they perfectly mimic the Electoral College system. So what they would do is basically each county is a vote. Well, you have counties with like 50,000 people in it. We have counties with 5,000 people in it. We have counties with 2 million people. So you'd have to do something like everybody gets one. And then you get one for every state rep that you have in that county. Like that, I think, would get through the court system. But otherwise, I don't think it'll work. But if they do that, it will push us kind of in the direction of where we were with the Senate at the federal level before. I don't remember which amendment, the 17th or whatever, or the 18th, where they made the federal senators elected by the popular vote instead of by the state legislature. Because right now, if we had the old system, the constitutional way senators were elected, this would be a different country.
Yes.
They just made 3.5 million new residents, and then 350,000 of those asylum seekers, they weren't granted asylum. They just dissolved their cases, apparently. Thus, they're free out in the world here. I saw that this morning a couple hours ago. What about the... and John would probably know, Nicole might know. What about this this new bill that they passed about cows, cattle, and milk cows having to have some kind of digital ID to them?
RFID.
Is it RFID or is it something more than that?
I can 100% attest I've not looked into that deeply.
I haven't. I don't know.
Did it pass all the way is the question. Because usually when I see articles, it's like it passed the House or the Senate but not both.
Yeah,
I thought I seem to recall a couple weeks ago hearing that's a real thing right now. The big thing you're going to see right now is they've got the bird. Apparently, there's a bird flu vaccination that somebody's making, and the bird flu is crossed into dairy cows. You saw that a couple weeks ago. That's starting to bubble up again right now. You're seeing mainstream media saying, hey, don't take farm tours, stay away from farm stands because of the bird flu and the what is with the attack on the raw milk, man? You would think that is just giving people superhero powers.
You know, I saw somebody come out after raw milk the other day, and there's just a lot of misinformation. So people, like the marketing that's been done so well is that you're dumb if you drink raw milk and you have like you're 4,000 times more likely to die of a disease that you get from it and all of these things, completely ignoring how milk works. But that's just because that's the prevalent way. So it's like it is not necessarily in our populace popular to defend raw milk. It's the people who have experienced raw milk who are like, this is ridiculous, right? So I think that's an interesting thing. I saw somebody come out, say that, and then say buttermilk is not is the byproduct of what comes out when you separate the solid from the milk. That's buttermilk, because somebody else is saying that they left their milk out, their raw milk out overnight, and it turned into buttermilk, and the other person was wrong. Buttermilk is a cultured product. You can culture the what comes out at like the liquid that comes from making butter, but so there's just a lot of I don't know and a lot of fear, and people buy into it. It's kind of like I talked to somebody the other day who was unwilling to consume meat that was not USDA inspected. And I'm like, well, you know what that means, right? Like a dude stands there and watches.
That doesn't come from the United States.
Yeah. So, yeah, true. The U. That's a whole.
The USDA inspected meat from Brazil.
Yeah.
It's all been taken over and infected, man. It's just like what organic used to actually mean something.
Yeah, it does. Well, organic means carbon-based. That's all it means. Like, the organic label is just complete bullshit at this point. It's sad, but it's true.
Yep.
I don't know. People are either going to wake up or they're not. I think we're in, like, a terminal velocity stage of where humanity is going. And we have this tremendous bifurcation of people who are unwilling to go along with, like, a spaceship that set a course for the sun. Like, you guys go ahead without us. We're not going. Come on, it'll be great. Bye. See ya. I mean, we're just headed to complete oblivion. And I keep talking about this with, you know, kind of my zone that I'm in. I always get the, you know, when's the collapse coming? When's the collapse coming? Like, look around you.
Okay, so here's a great... So, speaking of that, we have a question. After the collapse, what is the average Joe's role in a restarted America? And I saw this, and I was like...
You're in the collapse,
You're in the collapse. What is your role right now, and what role are you in? Period.
Yeah, see that?
Don't wait till after. You're too late.
After the collapse. This is fantasy thinking. Like, that after the collapse will be better. Right? Like, This is too many people reading, like, James Rawls's books and, like, masturbating to them or something. Like, look, this is what collapse looks like historically. Everything begins to fall apart. The people in power could do something to fix the structural problems, but instead they worry more about their power than the solution. And empires always put all their effort into controlling the domestic population, and they put all of their real efforts at the edges of the empire where it's beginning to fall apart. So the center completely collapses, and then it dies. That's America right now today. And I know people get mad because you're supposed to be patriotic and rah-rah 1,000 years or whatever. No, we fucked it up. Like, it was a great system, and we fucked it up. And there's no way out of it. Now, like, do you know that over the last 7 months, we spent over $500 million, half a trillion dollars on interest on the debt in the last 7 months. And that was more than the totality of the same time of Medicaid and the Department of Defense. So we are now spending more money on interest payments than the entire Department of Defense. I don't know if you know what you get for making an interest payment. Absolutely fucking nothing. So we're now spending every 7 months half a trillion dollars for nothing. You're done. There's no world in which you climb out of that hole. It doesn't exist.
So, to the question, what role is your best role right now during the eclipse?
Correct.
What is it?
I can't tell him that. He has to figure that shit out for himself, right?
Grow food.
I don't know. I think you can say if you're able to create ongoing wealth that you are the source of and value, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
If you are able to be a relevant and positive influence on your community and develop the kind of community around you that is real community and real relationships, you're going to be a lot more stable. But if you focus all of your time controlling for the worst possible case scenario, you're probably not going to do as well.
Well, if you make stupid decisions because you think when it collapses, those stupid decisions won't hurt you, like maxing out your credit cards and shit, that's not going to work either. The way I put it yesterday is, where there are problems, there are opportunities. So the more problems, the more opportunities. And that's got to be the mindset, in my opinion. Like, I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen. I don't know what you're able to do, what you're able to learn, how old you are, how much money you have, where you're at, what you're willing to risk, how hard. I don't know any of that shit. But I do know if you just look at a landscape, like a political, socioeconomic landscape that's got lots of problems, that you can see tons of opportunities to assist people with those problems. And that's where your value comes to the table. And value always is reciprocated when it's properly offered. So that's your answer. That's not like, hey, here's 10 professions to study or whatever. I don't know. Like, you tell a guy, go learn radio engineering or something. Maybe he doesn't know math. Maybe he can't do math. But maybe he's great with his hands. You got to figure out what value you have that offers solutions to the problems. And the good news is lots of fucking problems coming.
These are the good old days. Property values never coming down.
No.
Buy property when you can. Have enough property where you can have multiple generations on your property. build something so awesome that as your kids grow up, they want to come back and be part of what you're doing. Stop warehousing your elderly. Keep them on your property to help raise your children and your grandchildren and continue that empire. But nobody's going to do that. You have to do that. That doesn't matter if you're 22 or 42 or 52. It's never getting easier. You have to put that in motion, and you have to build something that you believe in that's so important to you that your children watch that. And then stop outsourcing your security, stop outsourcing your food, and stop outsourcing who's raising your kids. They are infecting your children, and that changes the entire way of your life. You have to take responsibility for all of those things yourself. It's not going to be easy. And if you start doing that, especially if you start documenting it and you do what you truly believe in your heart is the right thing, other people that believe that will show up and they will start buying properties next to you. And before you know it, all the nonsense, it won't matter.
Drops the mic. Yeah. Okay. Question. Suggestions on how to pack up full canning jars to move across the country. Would it even be worth the effort? I have to get out of Washington.
So I don't know about across the country, but I mean, we moved as a military household many times, and we moved with station wagons full of canning jars. I mean, we cracked open when I was 20 years old, we cracked open canning jars of peaches that we moved with since as long as I could remember. And my earliest memories were probably like 3 and 4 years old. We ate those things when I was 20 years old. They were brown. I couldn't identify them as peaches. Nobody died. But I mean, we just, the jars come in with the cardboard dividers, and anything you ever need cardboard for, Uline has multiple versions. Uline's it's a little more costly, but they will ship it. I order on Sunday and receive Uline on Monday. They ship from middle of the United States and both ends of the United States. And they've got great product.
And they make boxes specifically for your canned yep. products with the cardboard dividers. You still have to be really careful with them if you're going to move them. So the question about, is it worth it? How much of that food can you eat before you leave that makes sense to eat? Because empty jars are way better to, yep. to transport. Yep. And what time of year are you moving? Because the other yep. thing is maybe you can trade that for something of value that you need or sell it.
Yep.
Because that could also help you in your move and help you get started faster where you are, depending. So
that's a good point, too. Anything heavy you're moving costs fuel. We moved here from California to Tennessee with an entire gym. Like when the trailer got a flat tire, the jack wasn't enough to jack the thing up. We had to unload it. All that shit's still sitting in a building. We've never unpacked any of that shit we moved here with. We brought a 24-foot trailer, a 10-foot trailer, and tons of stuff. It's still sitting. We've never unpacked it.
Yeah. And I could say pulling a trailer full of canned goods up the Rocky Mountains could be a challenge, and you need to come over those to get past them.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
I don't know.
We were getting 4 miles to the gallon with the big trailer on the
like
truck. That.
And you're like, I can't go more than 20 miles per hour up this hill.
Yep.
There were definitely some things that I took to Arkansas that I didn't bring here because I realized that the cost wasn't worth doing it again. And we either gave them away or put them in the ground and gave them to the next homeowner or whatever. Like, but yeah, there is how long can stuff last if you do it right? I just did some stuff this weekend and I needed some jalapeno powder, and the jalapenos that I ground up for that were in a jar that was from Arkansas. So, I mean, I've dehydrated peppers from 2011, I guess that would be. And we're still using them. I haven't dehydrated a pepper in a long time because I have like 12 freaking pints, and that's a lot of dried jalapenos. And there was no loss in quality of that at all. So I think that, yeah, like you got to start thinking that long-term mindset now, but moving with it, a few jars of dehydrated stuff, it's lightweight. Yeah. But heavy shit. If you eat your food, don't spend the money that you would have spent on the food that you would have eaten anyway. And then you can resupply on the other end and you've created a rotation.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing is if your canning jars are like 20 years old.
Yeah.
Those are actually worth moving.
Yeah.
If your canning jars are 2 or 3 years old, you can just buy the same quality when you get over to wherever you're going. So, and canning jars are not currently hard to source. You can buy them by the pallet right now.
Yeah, there's no problems there.
And there's almost always somebody locally who decided they don't like canning, trying to get rid of canning jars around here.
Dude, check next door for anything you need before you buy it. Right? Is anybody looking to get rid of fill in the blank? And most of the time, somebody's looking to get rid of it. They'll either give it to you or they'll sell it for next to nothing. I have like a shelf full of the big giant, like 1 gallon beer growlers, all given away on next door.
So, guys, Rachel is going full Eka Mouse on your asses. So if you do not like this stream, please do so soon.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble, man.
Rachel's going to start hunting you down and figure out who hasn't liked it.
There it is.
Yep. Whatever happened to Eka Mouse, Jack?
I haven't seen her forever. She's popped up a few places, people have said, but
yeah,
she's got other things going on, I guess. I miss her.
Super busy.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's eking out a mouse living in the desert. It's a hard place to make a living, man, in the high desert. It's tough.
Yeah, AR says we moved our one load, number 10 cans of food. That's different. They're not breakable.
But yeah, they're number 10s are easy, especially freeze-dried. I mean, number 10s, there's no weight to them either.
Yeah, those are great.
I still have some number 10s of shrimp and pork chops that I bought like before I even started my podcast. So that's like over 16 years.
For you guys that have freeze dryers and stuff, you can buy a number 10 canner. You can also buy a 4 and a 6 canner. They're about $2,500. A pallet full of cans, which typically is going to be a gross for number 10, so that's 144 cans. You're going to pay about $1,000 for that, probably more now. But, I mean, it's 100% doable. And typically a freeze dryer load is going to be a number 10 can. And it takes you about 30 seconds to seal that thing up with a manual sealer. All American, the pressure canner company, they make those.
I used to buy, I think the company was called the Carry Company.
Yeah.
And they're phenolically lined paint cans with a food grade phenolic lining. It's like a gold color. Dude, you could just throw that shit in there, throw an O2 absorber, and smack the lid on with a rubber mallet.
Yeah, and you guys can buy those empty cans at Home Depot and Lowe's with that gold liner in them.
With that gold liner? Okay.
Yep.
I wasn't sure about that, but we've used those. Like, I dehydrated a whole shitload of, like, lemons and stuff when they were on sale, so we use those to make lemonade or flavored drinks or whatever. I still have tons of those from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have to go to politics, Jack.
Oh, okay.
Donald Trump was found guilty.
Yeah, that was dumb. That is Orange Man 2.0 guaranteed. This is like, and to watch, my favorite part of this, watching these people on the left, like, go, I don't understand what's happening. Well, okay, I believe you. You are that stupid. Yeah, like, this was, you almost wonder if they did it on purpose, if they actually want him back. Because it's so dumb.
That's the conspiracy theory out there. You hear a lot of people saying that.
And I love the people, like, I said yesterday, at this point, I want the Orange Man to win. And I reiterated, I don't vote, and in my state, he's going to win anyway. So I have no impact on this whatsoever. And I got, like, tantrum-throwing emails from it. Well, what happens when this, and what happens when that, and what about Trump? Like, all I said was, I want Trump to win because I don't believe it'll really be that different, and I want the left to lose because they deserve to lose after what they've done.
Well, like him or not, was your bank account better when Trump was in office?
Yeah, but I don't think it will be better because he's back in office.
You don't think it'll get better?
No, I don't. Well, it might, but it'll be because of what I did. It will not be anything to do with him.
Understood.
Now, he might, if he gets back in with the right weighting in Congress, he might reauthorize his tax cut, and that directly impacts my wallet to the tune of about $4,000 a year. So that, like, but right now I still have that. The danger is it's going to expire at the end of this tax year. And if it doesn't get reauthorized, then we'll go back to not having it. The Trump tax cuts for the corporations were permanent, but the tax cuts for individual income were 7 years. So that would be the one place. I don't know, man. I mean, you know, Orange Man comes out and says we need 100% tariff on electric vehicles coming out of Mexico. What does Brandon do? 100% tariff on electric vehicles coming out of Mexico. Do you, you know, I would look at it this way. We'll probably fuck shit up less around the world, and that's good. He promised to free Ross Ulbricht. I will tolerate anybody if they'll do that for 4 years. And it will make the left lose their mind. And that's always entertaining. And we're fucked anyway. So
but
we're already in the black. So it doesn't really matter. So let's at least have some fun with it. And at least Trump's fun.
Did he really promise to free Albright?
Yes, he did.
It seemed kind of wishy-washy, I thought.
I don't know. I see, and that's another thing, though. The LP, the Libertarian Party, is stupid.
Oh,
right?
They just
we have an opportunity. Let's shoot ourselves in the foot instead. Like, yeah. They should have seized on that, backdoor Delta, and said, listen, we want Ross, we want Assange, and we want Snowden. And you want us to say you're the man? You commit to that. You put it down in a way that it makes it almost impossible for you to back out of, and we'll give you that backing. And people say, Jack, but you're not a real libertarian. Like, no, I am not a Libertarian Party member because I don't play politics. But if you're going to play fucking politics, then you have to do things like that or you shouldn't play politics, right? That's sort of similar to the old quote. I don't remember who made it, but if those who do not want power should not seek it. Like, this is how the game is played. This is how things get done in the political arena. It's the art of the probable and the possible. And so you have the probable and the possible sitting in front of you. And instead, who did the LP nominate? A gay dude that's okay with drag queen story hours in men and women's bathrooms. Like, the most bizarre fucking thing you could have done, which maybe it's a backhanded way of helping Trump. I don't know.
Olivia, you should move out here to Camden or near here.
Yep. So I mean, back to this, you said you almost think they want him to win, Jack. I think they do.
Okay, so this
I think you have two candidates who are not good.
Yep.
No, Olivia really wants to win.
This is what I said recently. This is a play out of the Unabomber's manifesto. One of the things Uncle Ted said in his manifesto was you do not want to be in charge during a complete political breakdown because the other side then takes over. So if you're going to be in a complete and total shitstorm, you actually want the opposition in charge because that's your opportunity to truly seize power. And boy, do we have a shitstorm coming. And then you got the political elite. I'm not even going to say the left. It's both sides. They're like, what is this shit? That, like, they seem like they're begging for World War fucking III. Mm. Like, they're just begging for it. Like, Russia's like, look, man, we don't really want to do this shit. Right. And then we're like, blah, 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 nuclear weapons. And then Putin's like, you know, we have nuclear weapons too. They're like, look what he said. He said he's going to attack us with nuclear weapons. It's like, it looks like taunting on a high school playground, except, you know, billions of people can die. It's so childish. It's so stupid over such like insignificant shit. Like, I heard somebody on the news this weekend say that not only is Ukraine fighting for their freedom, they're fighting for America's freedom.
Shit.
Like, and then nobody says, hey, wait a minute. Like, please explain how that works. No, everybody's like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's a very deep thought.
Yeah. That was, wasn't that an SNL skit?
Oh, I don't know.
If trees could scream, would we be so quick to cut them down?
Hmm.
Well, maybe if they did it all the time and for no reason at all. Deep thoughts. That was an SNL guy. But yeah, like wow, yeah, they're fighting for how? First of all, they're not fighting for shit right now because they're completely wiped out of manpower. Like, so what Tucker Carlson just said in his interview with Don Jr., I said last week, and that is Ukraine as a country will not exist soon. And what's going to happen is this is going to end. They're going to talk all kinds of shit about how they back Putin down. He's going to get the frickin' Donbass region. Like, this is not – you're not getting that back. It's gone. It's as gone as Crimea. But they'll say, without us, he would have marched all the way across Ukraine and then into Poland and Germany or some stupid shit and act like they did something. And now it's up to us to rebuild Ukraine with Russia's money, which they only have a tiny little bit. So it'll come from American taxpayers and taxpayers in Europe, and they're going to come in and Brown and Root and BlackRock, and everybody's going to be digging in that jar to get as much money as they can out of it. And then they're going to go, oh, gee, we don't have enough workers in Ukraine. Well, what's France regretful about right now? What's the UK regret? Mm-hmm. Like, let all these freaking immigrants in from North Africa. Like, we have a job plan for you. And they're going to ship shitloads of these people to Ukraine. They're going to completely dilute it culturally from what it was. And it's going to become a third world shithole, but we're going to control it in the center of Europe.
And we're going to spend so much non-money doing that inflation is going to continue to go through the
roof. Oh, yeah.
And then we're going to blame it on record corporate profits.
But that's the big plan.
That's the bad guy, record corporate profits. Because, you know, once the dollar is not worth as much, even if a which makes the same value for value profit. That's a record corporate profit.
Yep. Yep. And, you know, I don't like to be too conspiratorial, but there's no way they didn't know this would be the outcome. Right? I think we do ourselves a disservice when we convince ourselves these people doing all this shit are stupid. They are not stupid. Now, we have plenty of elected officials who are stupid, plenty of bureaucrats that are stupid, but the people pulling the strings, they are not stupid people. They might be evil, but they're not stupid. And they know what they're doing. They've been doing this for thousands of fucking years. And they knew when they instigated this conflict, there was no way Ukraine could win. Well, so you had to have a plan for that from the beginning. So either it's this horrible plan for Ukraine or it's this horrible plan for Luftballons to launch all over the world. I feel bad for Ukraine, but I'd prefer Ukraine to suffer than the whole world to be fucking nuclear irradiated.
They said 6 weeks into all the bombing of the cities in Ukraine that they'd already awarded contracts to BlackRock to rebuild all that infrastructure. Yeah. Those are all going to be 5-minute cities.
Yep. Yep. Even the places that didn't get hit by Russian artillery will say, well, they need to be rebuilt anyway. They'll say we need this new infrastructure and to modernize Ukraine so it's ready to join the EU. And then they might even find a reason once they push all those immigrants into Ukraine to not let Ukraine in the EU. And then you've got that audience captured. They can't freely travel within the EU border like any EU citizen can because they're not citizens. They're immigrants on some kind of registered status. But now you live in Ukraine, so you're subject to Ukraine law. Because there is a lot of buyer's remorse, I guess is the way you'd put it, in a lot of these countries. And how easy is this solution? Look, we have jobs for you.
Yeah. I mean, look,
we'll give you housing.
Look at the mess they've got in France.
Free transportation, rebuild Ukraine, make some money, build a life for yourself.
Yeah, that's not Frenchmen. That's not French citizens stabbing people and burning down all of the monuments.
No.
All those people.
Ireland got it too.
Yeah, and they all have a group of 6-10 things in common.
Yeah.
This is a great question. For most Americans, any plan is better than no plan.
I think it's more a statement,
it's thought.
Yeah.
For most Americans, action is better than anything they're doing. Most aren't like do something for yourself.
Yeah, the key to keeping things from getting worse is convince people that doing nothing is doing something.
Stop having employers hold out and do withholdings for taxes and the whole tax system. That would be the end of it. If people realized how much money they have, like the IRS could withhold all that shit. The IRS doesn't need you to do your taxes. The IRS could just do it on their own. They do that to set you up for failure so they can assess fees and keep you in that fight or flight.
Yeah.
If they just had employers stop doing payroll tax, the whole citizenship, that would be the end of it right there.
Yeah.
If they actually had to pay their own shit and realize how
if
that
once,
worked.
Once every 90 days, like a business owner does, you had to write a prepayment check for your tax year to the IRS, you would think a little differently about taxes.
Yeah,
and if you were matching your own fucking Social Security, I mean, that is something people do not understand.
If this is not on your radar, you are about to, on an online business, you are about to have to collect taxes for every state that you ship to, even though they're not in your state. That's coming. If you haven't heard that, it's only because you're not doing enough revenue, but it is creeping down into lower revenue companies. You're going to see that happen, and you're going to be responsible for that withholding and that payment to those states. You watch. It's happening right now.
And the filing fees associated with it.
Yep. They could do that automatically through the program that's telling you have to do it. They are putting it on you intentionally.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's basically farm. What do you think they hired 80,000 new IRS agents to do? Audit billionaires? Like if you go the number of billionaires in the United States by that 80,000, like every billionaire would have 13 dedicated, actually I did it with people worth $100 million or more. It was 13 agents dedicated to every single taxpayer that was worth $100 million or more dollars. That's not why they're there. That's not why they're there. Do you think they're going to do that? No, they're going to send letters of demand to somebody that makes 50 grand a year who say, well, I got audited and I've talked about this before. No, you didn't get audited. You got a letter of demand. That's not an audit is we would like to meet with you and anally probe you for 4.5 hours to see how much money we can get from you. Audits are not fun.
And you don't ever do that. You have a lawyer do that. You do not.
No, you do not. Even if you have to appear, you basically shut up. I got this. Shut up. I got this. Don't give them that. Okay. Give them that piece of paper right there. That's how smart audits go.
Question question. Since we're on politics, do you all have an opinion on the YouTuber that lost by 400 votes in the 23rd district in Texas?
He's talking about Brandon Herrera.
Fight on this. What?
Yeah, Brandon Herrera. And boy, he came close. Like, they called it out. All those rhinos came out of nowhere to support their boy. He got very close, Brandon Herrera did.
Don't know anything about it.
Yeah, you should. He's like, I'm not saying you should, but yeah, you should look into him. Solid dude. Met him several times. Just a freedom loving dude. He's a gun guy. He's a gun tuber.
Was this for a state rep?
Yes.
Okay.
State. I don't know what he was. I thought it was Congress. No, it was Congress.
Oh, federal rep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would have actually meant something, because being a member of the Texas House is meaningless.
Yeah, he came close.
I mean, if you're a Texas senator, you can get some shit done. There's only like 33 senators in the state, and it's a total good old boys club, and they all, you know, grab each other's ass and feed each other business and stuff. The Texas House is a joke.
Yeah,
like,
they'll show.
There's literally videos of like the dude doesn't show up, and they're allowed to vote for, like, somebody else can vote for you. And they just have a button on their desk, and like, people are racing to be the one that votes for all the people that didn't show up for the vote. And this is acceptable. And I mean, there's a freaking full on video of this happening. And like, they're laughing, like leaning over the desk, slapping each other's hands and being the one to vote, you know, for their other party member. It's despicable, and it's a joke. But if he would have got into federal Congress, because the one thing I say, if you get into the federal Congress, then you can do things outside of Congress that have much more impact. Like, you can get on major radio stations, you can get on major TV stations, you can get major media coverage. And if you look at, like, the biggest impact Ron Paul had over 30 years of being in Congress was outside Congress. Like, even his farewell speech, he said, basically, I accomplished nothing here. Everything I actually accomplished was out there.
He ran against Gonzalez in District 23. Those guys will show up. Herrera will show up at the big, huge gun buybacks at the stadiums and buy guns from guys before they come in. And then the cops will come over and go, "Hey, you can't be buying these guns. We're trying to."
Yes,
get
I can.
Yeah.
Yes, I can. Let me Here's a video of me doing it. Go get a warrant to arrest me. Now fuck off, because it's completely legal in the state of Texas to do that. I can sell you a gun. I can sell anybody, as long as you're not a known felon. I can sell you a gun inside the state of Texas. The one gotcha is it has to be between residents of the state. So if you privately sell a firearm to, let's say, a Louisiana resident in the state of Texas, you have violated law. Doesn't mean anybody's going to do anything. It just means you should know that.
Yep.
Also, that has to go through a dealer, so to speak.
No. Private sale of firearms doesn't have to go through anybody.
No, if it's in another state.
Oh, yes. Yes. If it's a Louisiana resident transferring a firearm, you have to do a 44-40.
Which you're not going to do.
Yeah,
that's what they're trying to shut down. It's the same way in Tennessee. You can meet.
Well, the other thing we have here is if you have a concealed carry permit in Texas, you do not have to do a 44-40 for any gun. When you go in to buy a gun from a dealer, you hand them your concealed carry permit, and they fill something out. I don't know what it is. And you don't even wait for InstaCheck because you're considered already cleared. Which is interesting because the dealer doesn't have the 44-40 on file. So I'm not sure how that works. So I'm sure there's some record of who bought the gun.
But with all the states picking up constitutional carry, you have a huge downward departure in permits. So now they are back to doing 44-70s or whatever, that form four, because most people now are not getting concealed permits because they don't have to.
Yep. Oh, I just learned something, Nicole, from the giant ginger man that's living at my house for a couple days.
Yes. Wait, you let him into my room?
Yeah, he's in your room. Well, he's not here right now. He's down at the Air Force Base doing some work. Naval Air Station doing some work. But he just got his first suppressor. And apparently, and I didn't know this, they've streamlined the tax stamp process. It took him 48 hours.
Yep, 2 days.
To get his suppressor, and the company he's using, I'm going to have to find out the name of them, they're doing individual trusts on any NFA tax stamp. So, like, the problem with that is, let's say that, like, I had a trust, and you were a member of my trust, Nicole, and I buy a suppressor for that trust. Well, you have to be part of that background check as a trust member, right? But then anybody in the trust can use the suppressor with the stamp. But let's say that I decide I want to buy a second one. Or an SBR or something, and I want to put that into that trust. well, I have to go through all that shit again. I have to get information from, like, we have to do it almost like a brand new one. So what this company's doing, I think JR said it's $140. You get one trust per device, and then if somebody else doesn't want to be on that one, you just don't worry about it.
That's
because
also,
if I add it to the trust without dealing with you again, then I have this unbalanced, like, it doesn't work thing going on. So you can get it within a trust, because that really is the way to do any NFA device, so that, like, when you die, the trust discontinues without you.
Yep. It can just, you can have your kids on there, so it just passes straight to them or your spouse.
And so that when I hand my son my suppressed rifle at the range,
he's okay.
Some guy doesn't actually stand back there from the ATF and go, excuse me, did you just transfer ownership of a stamped item to somebody not qualified to have it? Here's my trust, motherfucker. Get out of here. Right.
Yeah, Bob says silencer shop.
That's who JR said. Now, the other thing that JR told me, and I'm not sure about this yet or not, is that the entire portion of the NFA that includes suppressors is in danger of completely falling apart.
Yeah,
and
it's about
the reason, that they've expedited it is so they can rake in as much money out of it before it goes away as possible.
Yeah, it looks like it is going away. But you know how that shit goes.
You never know. But, I mean, imagine the innovations in suppressor technology if that happens.
Well, they're getting grilled.
You can build a basic suppressor in any machine shop. But imagine if you open that market and you just basically say, since anybody can sell a suppressor now, whoever makes the best one sells the most.
Yeah.
The innovation will be insane.
They're getting their ass chewed over the long wait times. All of a sudden, they get a little slap on the wrist. Now, all of a sudden, they can process them in 48 hours. The other question, too, would be if they legalize all those suppressors, are they going to release all those guys in prison for all that nonsense oil trap bullshit, right?
Yeah.
Just like when they legalized all the weed. None of those dudes in federal prison for weed, they didn't get out because they made it legal. Those dudes are still in prison for weed.
Exactly. And how about this then? So since the tax stamp is a stamp,
not anymore.
I actually have. And
yeah,
I don't need
not
it anymore. Can I sell it back to the government?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be a huge debate because it's billions of top dollars in total over all these years of them accumulating.
Yeah, they don't even give you a stamp anymore. It's just a digital thing.
Yeah, but like, okay, I paid for this thing. It's a stamp.
I get it.
I don't need it. It's a government issue. Like, you're supposed to be able to return stamps for money. That's part of what, like, if you rob a post office, it's a federal crime. Part of it is that.
Yeah, that's currency in prison. That's what they use for money is postage stamps.
Yep.
Any opinions on Joel Skousen running for president in 2024?
None. Don't care. Don't give a fuck. Nonsensical.
I don't even know who he is.
He's a guy that wants everybody to run away to a few places in the country and hide in the ground because a limited nuclear exchange is coming because the Mormon prophecy says so.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's it in a nutshell. Like, yeah, I had him on the show and I didn't know that everything was coming from prophecy and stuff. And I'm like, that's not what I teach.
Is this the guy building the bunkers in the silos and stuff and buying up all the magazine storage?
I don't think he has that kind of swag to be able to do that, but he is. Like, he's the author of a book called Strategic Relocation.
Okay, I know. Who he is.
Yeah,
he was on Tim Pool, I think.
Yeah, I don't care who runs for president if they have no chance of winning. I don't care that Bobby Kennedy's running for president. He ain't got a chance. I don't care that Chase Oliver's running as a libertarian or Jill Stein's running a Green Party. I don't care about anything that has no chance of happening. And I don't care about anything that has no impact on the outcome. So I would say out of all those people I named, the only person that probably has impact on the outcome is RFK, and it's probably bad for Biden.
And most of those guys, they don't think they have any hope anyways. It's all about the super PAC. They get all those that millions and millions of dollars that they don't have to account for afterwards.
Yeah. Well, so the way election law works and finance law works, you can't keep that money.
Well,
but
you can't
spend it.
Yes.
Right. And you can spend it in ways that other people are happy that you've done. So they do things like, well, if you're not going to run for office again, you can come here and speak and we'll give you $500,000 speaker's fee. But in return, you take your campaign money and you push it in the direction we want it to go. Yep. And that's how they basically legally money launder it in plain sight. Because do you really think any of these people are worth $400,000 speaking fees? Do you think they bring in that kind of coin with an audience because they come and show up for 15 minutes? Like, no, this is just grift. It's the same shit with, what's his name, Biden, Hunter Biden's artwork.
His 4x8 sheet of plywood painted as a Ukraine flag that sold for $8 million.
Get the fuck out of here. And when they ask him, like some journalist actually does their job and go, well, why do people pay that much money for your artwork? He's like, I don't know. Come on. But you know what? I don't know is always a safe legal answer.
And then the owner puts it in a museum where they climate control it, secure it, and insure it, and then pay you a fee for having it in the museum.
I promise you, Jeff, you do not want this.
I can't even spell.
I know Willis 2024. You don't want it. I'm telling you, you're not ready for it. People that think they're ready for it, you wouldn't be ready for it. I don't want to be president. I'm with Nick Ferguson. I don't want to be president. I can't really do much. But, like, if you could give me king for, like, 5 years, I could get some shit done. And then if you fuck it up after I'm gone, that's on you. I did what I could. King, where I could just edict shit and just fucking do it for about 5 years, I would do that. Including off with his head. I want the guillotine. Like, I want the whole goddamn medieval shit.
Yep.
Like, I'm going to be dictator for 5 years. I'm going to fix as many things as I can. I'm going to ride off in the sunset.
And you're going to let them eat cake.
They can eat cake. You can eat cake. You can eat bacon. You can eat butter. You can eat whatever you want. You just have to pay for it.
There'd be stocks and rotting fruit in front of every store. If you steal some shit, we would lock you in there for 48 hours, and everybody gets to pelt you with rotten tomatoes and shit.
Spoiled food, and you sell it for cheap for throwing at people, and you use it to feed the pork.
Yep. Oh, no, we don't. Well, yeah.
We take all the rotted food off the ground and feed it to the chickens and make compost. Everybody wins.
We stop keeping people alive that won't keep themselves alive.
Nope. You get to die. You want to die, you get to die.
Yep.
You want to die, here's a bullet. I'm sorry, I don't have any this, you know, and you don't get an extra seat on the airline because you're fat and
welfare is not done by the government, so you better have some social credit there. Somebody around you better want to keep you alive because the government
real social credit, right? not Chinese social credit, real social credit. So another thing that the ginger man dropped on me, he didn't know what he was doing it though.
The ginger Sasquatch.
We were talking about, like, when you fly first class versus coach, what the difference is, and, like, when I used to get lots of airline miles, like, being in the Admiral's Club and what that meant and all. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Walmart has that now, but you have to pay for it. I'm like, what? He's like, Walmart has, like, a premium thing where you go through the registers faster and all. I'm like, oh, shit, this is how they're going to do social credit in America. Instead of it being some, like, top-down government thing, it's going to be a pay-for-play caste system. And every brand is going to have one, like Amazon versus Amazon Prime type thing, but everywhere. And think about it. It's exactly like streaming video services. So, like, when Netflix was the only streaming video service, everybody was like, fuck cable. And you got Netflix and you had everything for $9.99 a month. And then all of a sudden, everything starts migrating out. You have, like, 8 streaming services and you still can't see the one thing that you want.
Well,
and
Walmart
then, like, pay for each access. That's what they're going to do in America, man. You're going to have freaking lanes on, like they do in some cities already, lanes where you can go faster, you're going to pay more money. You're going to have, you want to buy food, you want to, you know, all this shit is going to have tiers. Just right now, you go to Costco. You have a white card or a black card. You have a black card, you get rebates, you can go in an hour early, all kinds of extra shit you can do, right? But you got to pay for it. They're going to do that across the board with everything here.
TSA's been doing it for over a decade.
That's where we started the conversation about how that works. Like, when we fly and we do first class, we don't stand in line. We go straight to the front. We check our bags. We go to security. We go around the side. We go straight through with pre-check. Like, but you pay for that, right?
You
didn't buy access. Well, I did when I paid $900 for my ticket and you paid $200 for your ticket. They're just going to formalize this everywhere, guys.
Walmart's coming
out. Oh, you want the good beef? You want the good beef with the high – you want the USDA Prime? Oh, you have to have the higher tier membership.
Walmart said you're going to have a membership to use self-checkout. They said they're losing too much to theft. They got busted out. I don't remember, maybe a month ago, Walmart has come out and said that they were outsourcing the security for all those cameras. It's not, in fact, AI. They're outsourcing it to India. So it's dudes in India watching those cameras. They said the theft is so high that they're going to have a subscription, a monthly subscription service for you to be able to use self-checkout.
So I have to pay for the privilege of doing the employee's job for them.
Oh, I would do it to not have to stand in line next to people coughing.
See,
yeah,
that's
but
why
yes,
it works. Even you and I are like, I'll pay. I don't give a fuck. I'll do it, right?
Yeah, you
want to
see.
I probably won't do it with Walmart because I barely ever go to Walmart, because if you want to feel sad for your country, go to Walmart. And if you, you really want to feel bad for your country, go at about 11:30, very close to the 1st or the 15th of the month. And
well, that's what's
when
really
just weep for America.
Go during business hours. It'll be footy pajamas. And,
yeah,
and you will see, you will, we have this perception of how society is because we are around people that we work with. Go during business hours when you are typically at work, go to Walmart and you will see what truly is in your society. You will see the zombies and such. You want to see how a business works very well. Go to Costco, even the self checkout. When you get there, they're like, would you like us to check you out?
Yeah.
And you're not in line 60 seconds.
No.
Walmart and Costco starts their employees at what? $30 an hour.
Something
great benefits. Like you can't pay shit prices and have good employees. Good employees are already employed. You have to pay enough to get them to come from somewhere else.
I mean,
at Sam's Club, you can just scan stuff with your phone the whole time and you're out.
That app never works at Costco. It works great at Sam's Club.
Yeah,
I never have to speak to anyone. Yeah. The bottleneck is, you know, Martha at the door.
I still say we're going to get to a point where literally every single item is going to have an RFID tag.
Well, Walmart already does.
The action of putting it in your cart, that will be it, and it'll come off your account and you walk out the door. And if you steal it, like you put it in your sleeve or something, it won't matter. It's still going to like be proximity close enough to set the thing off, and it's going to charge you for it. And then the poor lady at Costco that pretends to check all your items and puts the mark on your receipt, she won't have a job anymore.
The Amazon stores had that. They had the RFID tags. They have shut the Amazon stores down due to theft. There was no employees there.
Yeah.
Those stores even somewhat stocked themselves. 2000, Walmart required because we were being shopped to put some of our products in Walmart back when we were in Oceanside. Every product coming in the store has to have an RFID tag. They don't do an inventory at Walmart since 2000. Everything coming through the door has a tag in it. They know what's in there and what comes through that door. They don't have human beings doing inventory.
What they need is the technology to prevent the theft.
Yes.
I don't know what those people are doing to get it in without. And then you get into like the little minutia products that don't. Like,
well, much
they
of the
have
rhetoric
like for the whole palette, right? Like the stuff that sells for 50 cents. Like you can't put an RFID tag in every pack of gum. Right.
Well,
like,
well, much of the conversation is happening because of the municipalities that are not enforcing the petty crime when they come out and you see the smash and grabs. So what are they saying there? I mean, they shut down what, 6 Walmarts in the Atlanta area over that? They shut down all of Walgreens pulled out of the San Francisco area. The entire mall up there has completely collapsed.
So I think the next phase of this is self-enforcement, that you're going to have a membership to shop any of these stores. And you're going to have some kind of account on record or whatever. And if you get caught stealing, they turn off your membership.
I think part of it, the self-enforcement, is people are just tired of this shit. And you are seeing a lot of videos of
patrons
holding them dudes down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw one. It was like a Lowe's or Home Depot parking lot the other day. And like 5 dudes just went out and grabbed these 2 guys, just kicked the shit out of them.
So,
and the Home Depot employees going, no, don't do it. And they're like, no, fuck that. Like, I do think there is some of that. People just like, I'm not tolerating this anymore. Like, this is something I can do.
Walmart's goal was by 2025 that 40% by 25, 60% by 26, I believe. They are breaking their stores in half and building mirror stores. You are not going to go to Walmart anymore. You're going to do delivery from Walmart, which we do probably 70% now. And a shopper goes in and shops. They do not want you as the customer in the store. And a lot of the speculation is, as things tighten, the economy tightens, just like in Russia, you show up. You don't get to pick what kind of potato or apple you get. You get apple or potato.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of that's about. I was just in a Walmart, the ghetto Walmart over in Waverly. The one here in Camden is much nicer. They just remodeled that thing. And about 20% of the back store is coolers and checkout. Like that store footprint inside is less for you as the consumer because they're moving to that model. People don't realize it's happening.
I think
we're being programmed because it's so much more convenient just to get that pickup.
It is.
I ordered all the stuff I wanted online for my camper before my last like big long trip.
Yeah.
And it took me 5 minutes to pull into the parking lot, say I'm here, and some dude's throwing it in my car.
You don't even do
my
that.
Only issue with it is if I am ordering shit that comes in a box or a package or whatever, I'm not worried about. When I start going, like John was saying, produce, meat, like I want to lay eyes on what I'm ordering. Because if I order 2 pounds of ribeye, the 2 pounds of ribeye I get is probably not the 2 pounds of ribeye I would have picked out, right? So, yeah. Like,
they rate their drivers, and the driver rates the customer. I see people on local Facebook here going, man, I order from Walmart, and they never deliver my stuff. That's because you're a shitty customer, and you have a bad customer rating. And yep. The good drivers, they're busy bringing my shit, not your shit. Like, we don't ever get any bad, like, I get the apples I want. We get the whatever it is we order. It's pretty good. They have a rating system in there. And we always talk to our driver, hey, just out of curiosity, like, do you have another job? What made you do this? What job did you quit? And you build that rapport with that person. And they do, man. They shop just like you would shop for you, because they know we're going to tip them well if the service is good.
Yeah, I would do delivery if I was able to. I'm just not in the not yet in the zone. I think that changes over time. I think I can get Uber Eats here now. That's new.
Well, we have people local here like doing. We just have a random person that does Uber and Grubhub and Walmart delivery.
Yeah,
and a lot of those apps. There's a merging app. So I know somebody that goes and sits 45 minutes, an hour away in Jackson and delivers food. And he has one app that will program on his delivery so he can pick up from here and pick up from here and deliver here and deliver here.
Oh, that's cool.
And those customers have a rating system in that program. So you don't deal with the dude who typically doesn't tip. You deal with the 4-star, 5-star customers. But those apps merge all those platforms. Just like using StreamYard.
Yeah, that's not a surprise that that exists to me, because that had to exist.
Yeah. Did you know StreamYard cut off StreamYard? Facebook cut off access to StreamYard. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I'm streaming to Facebook right now, so it sometimes works, but Facebook doesn't want it, basically.
So when I do the live at night, I don't do it through StreamYard. I do it on YouTube. And they allow that. I can put a link. Well, it's a link. It just shows that link. So they on YouTube, on Facebook, they click into the YouTube link.
Yeah, which is good. But it's, you know, all of the streaming services are getting a little harder to use because I think they want us to go directly through their platform.
Oh, like
I just got rights to stream on TikTok. That was new. And I still haven't figured out how to do that through StreamYard, because I'd love to do that. But I also am in TikTok jail at this time for doing a live stream on how I cook from food I've harvested to food. And I was making deviled eggs, and I think the word devil triggered their algorithm.
On TikTok.
And so I got a warning, and then I got shut down, and then I got put in TikTok jail for 4 days. And then I appealed it, and they're like, nope. And I'm like, it'd be really nice if you told me the 30 seconds of my live stream that put me into TikTok jail, because I was literally talking about making deviled eggs, which very innocent.
The podcast, Pulling the Thread podcast, I think we're over 130,000 on TikTok. I lost complete control of my own page, which had 30,000 on it, and I literally can't get it back. I do the recover password. It's got the right email address, everything. It never sends me a recovery.
Oh, no. What happened? Do you know?
I don't know. I've lost out. I've not had access to my own account for 6 months. Nobody's posting on it. I can go in and see my stuff. I can comment on it. I just can't recover it.
Ah, that's
so
weird.
So I just abandoned it. I just stopped messing with it.
I tag you on TikTok every so often, but yeah. There's a girl in town that will deliver whatever you want. When I saw her ad, I was excited, but the neighbors paid $65 for donuts. I mean, you're paying somebody to go get your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's
free.
The cost.
Whatever Walmart's in the bear.
When Amanda leaves here, it's 20 minutes to get to Walmart, probably 30 minutes to an hour at Walmart, 20 to get back. The question is, if I pay somebody else, how much stuff can Amanda achieve within the business that actually makes money?
Yeah, what's the value of your time?
Yeah.
Hard value, which is like what you just said, and then there's also like the soft value of your time. Like, I pay for things all the time. I'm not necessarily making money instead of doing them, but I don't want to do them, and I have enough money that I don't have to.
Yeah.
And that's a soft value of my time. So maybe I'm going to go fishing. I don't get to do that very much. So, like, if I get to go fishing for a couple hours instead of fucking with something, I'm okay with that. But I also, like, I'm 50 plus years old now, and I have the ability to do that. When I was 25, if something broke, I fixed it. Like, I didn't have that mindset back then because I didn't have any money.
I was talking to my friend Tad. He said it was a year ago, almost exactly. And I said, hey, you should start your YouTube channel, get it monetized, whatever. And he goes, do you remember what you told me? He said, why should I do that? I go, how many of your friends make 20 grand a month? Just extra 20 grand. And he said, I do now. I make 20 grand. And he was saying that. He goes, I like to go do this myself. I go, Tad, what could you do in the hour that you do this? He was optimizing. Somebody hit him up to optimize all his videos to get them to 100% optimization. If you use vidIQ and you pay the $25 a month, it will show you what you're lacking to get you to 100 so that it pushes. And vidIQ is awesome. And he goes, these guys always hit me up to do it, and they'll do it for $10 a video. He goes, I just like to do it myself. And then I message them back, and I'm like, I can do that too. I go, but Tad, what they can't do is make a video. And when you make a video with your click-through links and your monetization, you're making $5,000 a video, bro.
Yeah.
Like, just give them the $10. Just let find a dude that you like, that you interact with well, and use that dude.
And the key is finding somebody you like and going through the people until you find the person you like.
Yeah. $10 a video. You're making 20. Just flat. None of the other stuff.
I get people all the time offering to do shorts for me and stuff, though. And then when I'm always like, okay, well, who do you do stuff for? And they'll say all these people. And I'm like, okay, can I talk to them? No.
Yeah. Or you look at their page and they have nothing. It's all
they have nothing. Yeah.
Russia. The other thing, too, they're starting to crack down on, everybody wants to use some automation. I get a notification in my account. Hey, you have to re-sign in. It appears you're using automated services.
Yeah.
And then I hit my guys up. I'm like, hey, we're not using automated service. Whatever you're doing, stop doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you think is going to happen with the TikTok ban?
Nothing.
Oh, you mean the one that went through Congress?
Yeah, and it passed, and Biden said he'll do it, and like if they don't sell by a certain day, but what's that day? I haven't paid attention.
I think it's a nothing burger, but people are all up in arms about it, but we'll see.
I think what it is a terrible new power that the federal government can use whenever they want to now. The word, if you actually look up the bill that is the TikTok ban, you know what doesn't appear in the bill?
The word TikTok. TikTok.
It doesn't say anything about TikTok.
It's really Patriot Act 3.0.
Yep. It's any social media or website with more than 20% ownership outside the country.
I bet Patriot they're turning Act. Social media into a utility in this way.
Oh, I got a good one for you. The government of the United States and the Western allies are mad again over something that's loosely connected to Russia. It's shocking. The country of Georgia, not the state, special people, the country of Georgia, there is one, former Soviet republic, has good relations with Russia, decided that they really don't think it's a good idea for foreign companies to have influence in their country without knowing it. So we have a law here in the United States that's about foreign agents registries. It's like FOAA or something like that, right? Foreign Registration Something Act. So their law is almost boilerplate copy of ours, except it's less stringent. If you fail to register, if your company has more than 20% outside influence or your lobbyist firm or your NGO or whatever, you get a fine. In the United States, you can get a fine and go to prison, right? Okay, so they have like a less restrictive version of this law that just basically says if you're engaged in activity to influence things in our country and more than 20% of your money comes from outside of our country, we want to know. The U.S. is threatening sanctions against the tiny nation of Georgia over this. So it's another example. It's totally okay when we do it. It's not okay for another nation to say we want to know if we have foreign influence in our country.
Do you remember four or 5 years ago, you were all locked out of your business accounts on Facebook because they needed you to give them a driver's license or identification to show what state the business resided in so that of the outside influence bullshit.
I do remember that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, all of this shit now, like when I just redid my license, I ended up having to wait 6 months driving with an expired license because I couldn't go to my own DMV and get in. And I had to bring like all this shit that I did the first time I got the license, but it's all because Real ID is finally going through, sort of. And it's like, but if I was an illegal immigrant, I could just go down and get a driver's license.
Yep. Or even need one.
Yeah. Not even need one. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense because literally it's all the stuff I had to show when I came to Tennessee to prove citizenship in the United States.
Yep.
And my address. where I still am.
I've had same driver's license number in the state of Texas since 1993. Like, even when I left for 3 years and I came back, like, I was still in the system. My license never expired, and it didn't somehow, like, when I got the PA license, it didn't expire, or, like, they didn't cancel it. So when I came back to get my license, they're like, oh, you're already here, and they just gave me my own number back. So I've had the same number since 93, but you got to verify who I am now. And I was like, you know, I bet you if they wanted me for a crime and they were serving a warrant, they would totally believe I was who I say I was. It was like just a ridiculous amount of shit you had to do just to renew your license in a state where you've lived for, what, 30 years?
The guy asking about the chamber oil vacuum oil.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a ton of stuff you can use. I believe we get ours from Websterant. Comes in a gallon. You're not going to use much of it at all. We use our chamber vac a lot. We do not change our oil a lot.
So I change the oil in my chamber vac probably twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the volume, and I filter it just like I filter my freeze dryer oil because I have the oil pump, and I use the same oil, which for me is called Black Gold, which I get off Websterant. And with 2 gallons, yeah, so it comes in a gallon jug, but 2 gallons, I haven't ever had to buy more. Like, not in 5 years.
Get you a Brita water pitcher or a pure water pitcher and use that to filter your oil through.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you, I actually did the toilet paper filter.
Yep.
So you take the Brita filter out and you, like,
yeah, there's
a video that I would be happy to send the link.
So you, like, pull the tube out and then just cram the whole roll in there? Okay,
yeah.
That'll work. I can see that working.
So they now ship them with a filter they've made. The toilet paper filter works better.
Okay.
Scott tissue is the best, which is the worst.
I just look at it. It's cheap.
Paper in the world, but, yeah.
It's cheap, and once a year I just replace it and use it to start the next fire in the pit.
Yeah, for the freeze dryer, it isn't, though, because you're changing.
Okay.
Like, I'm going to do garlic, and then I'm going to take that oil, I'm going to filter it, and put it aside in a jar labeled garlic, because it will bring garlic.
Oh, it's going to smell like garlic?
Man, if you do any seafood, my entire building will smell like shrimp. Even we did a bunch of canned chicken. We bought a bunch of big cans of chicken. We were going to freeze dry them. The whole building smelled like tuna fish. For days, you would come back in and you're like, oh my god.
Yep. And if you do candy, your whole building will smell like candy,
which is okay, because that dissolves, it wafts away, but that tuna fish, man, it sticks in the walls.
Yep.
That chicken
tuna is either sashimi grade or it's cat food.
Well, yeah, but this was chicken. Like, it still smells like
canned chicken. Is also
probably tuna.
Oh, that's you were doing canned chicken.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I can see that, though. It'd be really easy, right? You just pop it out, pop it in, and do it. And you've got freeze-dried chicken.
Because we're not freeze-dried.
For a lot less than buying freeze-dried chicken.
Yeah, and we're not running that stuff to eat on Saturday night. That's for in case. If we ever need to add it to a base, you know, that's a year's worth of food while you're waiting for your crops to, you know, 10X.
Yeah.
Which I'm 100% confident John can do if he ever needs to.
We can. Yeah, we can.
The same skills that John has in scaling his business, he has in scaling his homestead.
Yeah, we have plans to just take over everything.
Yep. It makes sense. That's something people don't realize. You start your homestead and you can't scale, learn to scale. The way you learn to scale is learn to scale anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Don't scale beyond your needs or your ability to manage is the other side.
Yeah, 140 tomato plants will do less than 40 tomato plants done well. Ask me how I know.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now I'm raising 30 this year.
Yeah,
but I get hundreds of pounds of tomatoes off them. Yeah.
I've got eight.
Yeah, eight.
More tomatoes than we need.
Man, we never do tomatoes, and we did this year with just cherries, because I can, if nothing else, when we're watering the garden, I can eat them. And we have, man, we've got hundreds of cherry tomatoes out there just falling off the vines right now.
I think I've got 9 quart jars of dehydrated cherry tomatoes.
If you're not
familiar with how much a cherry tomato shrinks during dehydration, that is a lot of cherry tomatoes. I'm probably good to, like, die.
And they're great to half them and just put them on the dehydrator. They make sun-dried tomatoes that way. Yeah, great for salads.
Straight in half. And then, like, they're perfect, like, when you cook and you want tomato in what you're cooking, just a handful.
Somebody sent me a, I think it was a Instagram short video, five things you can't feed your chickens because it'll kill them. And tomatoes were on there, and I said, man, we feed all of our scrap tomatoes, and our tomatoes walk around pooping those seeds out. We have tomato vines all over the property every year. And then onion, and I go, maybe onion will kill them, I don't know, but they never eat it. We put it all out there, and it composts, and because we use that deep mulch system, and they don't ever eat it, but it breaks down out there.
You know, have you, like, if you're a hunter, you know what you never see? You never, like, sit up in a tree. A deer comes through the woods, eats something, and falls over and dies. Like, animals have, like, this in trend. Like, everything except a cow. Like, a cow will fucking kill itself, right? Like, a cow just seems like a toddler. You know, where they reach that stage where, like, you have to prevent them from killing themselves, like, 9 times a day. Like, cattle will kill themselves with things that wouldn't kill them if they didn't overeat it, but they're a cow, so they do, like, acorns. Like they'll eat acorns until they get toxic from the tannins and shit. Or I've seen cattle get impacted from eating those Osage orange things, right? Because it's like sticky and gooey. But everything else, pretty much, I've never had a chicken just die because it ate something. No, that's not a thing. And tomatoes, man, they eat tomatoes all the fucking time.
Yeah. And also, Jack, you're a jerk because you did a show on seeds this year, and I have all of my tomatoes worked out, and then you mentioned those strawberry tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Those are now in my rotation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all I can do is get other people to do shit. So
I was like, I don't have to buy any seeds this year. I'm good. And I'm like, dang you, Jack.
They look pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll have some I can bring down next time I'm in your neck of the woods. You can try them. We'll see. Builder of Castles says, what level do you process tomatoes for canning? Puree, sauce, spaghetti sauce? What do you do, Jack?
I don't do any canning of tomatoes. I do dehydrated tomatoes, and if I want some that are more fresh-like for cooking, I cut them in half, throw them in a bag, vacuum seal them, throw them in the freezer. That's it. I don't can anything anymore. If I'm talking about canning, that means I took a dry good and vacuum sealed the ball jar. I just don't steam or pressure can at all.
Okay, canning is part of our regular rotation here, and the way I figured out what I wanted to do with my tomatoes is based on what I use my tomatoes for year-round. And so what I do is I will make my first priority. So I have priorities, too, because it's based on how many tomatoes I produce. My first priority is about 24 to 36 jars of salsa that I will pre-make. And that's about the only thing I can with tomatoes that has other things in it that is straight out of the jar process product, because my opinion on canning is it's better to have base ingredients than pre-made stuff, except for salsa. Like, we just use salsa, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
Then I do tomato sauce up to about 12 jars, but that was not quite enough this year, so I'll do 14 jars. And then if I have any tomatoes left that I'm going to can, I'll do some stewed tomatoes, maybe 6 jars. Beyond that, then they become dehydrated for sun-dried. And the other thing to do with them in my world is to freeze-dry them and make tomato powder.
Yeah.
Which is awesome with a roast. It, like, adds a certain richness to the broth.
I've done the tomato powder just dehydration.
Yeah.
That works. It's probably not as good, though, because
it doesn't matter.
Really hard. Good. They're more leathery than when you do that than that way. But as far as canned tomatoes, Costco sells, like, a 12-pack of canned cubed tomatoes, organic, for, like, $7. So, to me, it's just – that's an ROI thing. I can sit there and spend days and days canning tomatoes, or I can – you know, twice a year buy 4 cases of canned tomatoes, and anytime I eat canned tomatoes, there's cans of tomatoes.
Like, yeah, for me, it's a flavor thing. I like the fresh tomatoes canned. But
we don't probably use as much of them as you do. Now, the salsa thing, we do that all summer long while we're growing them fresh. We do fermented salsa.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do like some poblano, some jalapeno, some cilantro, some tomatoes into a jar, salt, airlock, 3 or 4 days, and that's fantastic, right? But
I did a badass fermented hot sauce with tomatoes 1 year. And the way I did it is I filled the jar with tomatoes first, about halfway, and then a quarter garlic and a quarter jalapeno pepper, and then weighted it down with a brine.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
How long till you could use that?
It fermented for 6 weeks, and then – I wasn't sure if it would be too liquidy, so I strained the liquid out, put it through the blender, and then added liquid back in until it was the sauce consistency I want, which was exactly right with the brine. So then I salted and peppered to taste at that point.
And that was on the counter or in the fridge?
Counter, fermented.
Got it. Got it.
So, yeah, the reason I did the tomatoes first was the tomatoes will break up and the juice comes out the top if you're not careful with them. So I wanted other chunks on top of them holding them below the brine. And the garlic and the, like, jalapeno peppers, which I chunked up large, were very easy to weight down. Tomatoes, because they're squishy, if you put them on the top of the jar, you run the risk of them coming above the brine and you inviting mold into your ferment.
Yeah. We've been growing a lot of mammoth jalapenos. They're really big. And then culapenos, which have a very, very low Scoville. And then we just slice them open, and I use the pressure nozzle on the sink. We blow the seeds out and then set them, let them dry, put string cheese in the middle of them, wrap them in bacon, put them on a pan, and you get about four of those things, and it's an entire meal. It's very hearty, those big mammoths.
The thing about the string cheese is it's not real bad about oozing out of the pepper. It's
correct. Like, and I just don't care for cream cheese.
Yeah, I like cheddar. We do the same thing you do. We grate like a really sharp cheddar and shove it in the pepper and wrap it up. But the string cheese thing, I can see that because it's a high temp melt.
Yeah, it works well.
I tried them one time using the labneh that you make out of yogurt because it doesn't really melt either, but it didn't take like the whole thing that makes the cheese work is as the bacon cooks, the grease goes into the cheese and like that labneh just doesn't absorb the bacon grease well. I could try it again, like chop the bacon up and mix it in.
Bacon jam from Keery and mix it in.
Or another cool thing you can do is you just wrap the peppers in bacon, no cheese, and make some good queso. And then you're dipping, right? You use them like chips. And now it's keto.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to hang out with people where we're talking politics and preparedness and economic stuff, and then we're talking our favorite jalapeno popper recipes
and shit. Yeah. You know, my find this year, I try to find something every year cool for the garden, has been something that I really didn't think would be a big deal, but I'm loving it, is safflower.
Okay.
So it's a fantastic cover crop interplant because there's a huge taproot. Basically, you can use it as a cover crop by itself. But the petals of the safflower are basically a stand-in, like an ersatz for saffron. And so every day I just go out and pull all the mature petals off and let the seed heads continue to mature. And what I'm going to end up with is like this huge amount of this fairly expensive spice. And it's just the interplanted, you know, the bumblebees love it. Like first thing in the morning, there's bumblebees all over them and all. So that's my find this year is safflower.
Yep. Hey, should I bounce this person?
Rate the fuck out. Rate the fuck out.
Done.
Goodbye, bitch. There you go.
My face
gets shiny because I don't wear makeup and I work.
Fuck her. The crazy
people
shit is
like that. Titus 2 Jesus girl. That was very Jesus-like of you there. You can
The crazy shit is you probably know who that bitch is.
Probably.
She's just here with a fake name.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Little bitch. Typical little bitch. They hide behind an anonymous handle, come in and talk shit to somebody that's never done anything to them. There's just the world is full of little bitches. And they get really mad when you call them little bitches. That's why I keep doing it.
Yeah, well, little bitch is good.
You'll never see a successful person show up to talk shit somewhere else.
No. Successful people don't have time to be like, I know this fucking person speaking right now. And instead of doing my productive shit, I'm going to go over there and talk shit to them. With no context, by the way, like no impact. Do you think that helped your case against her? No, it did not. It did not. It's probably good that nobody knows who you are. Just saying. Sometimes there's blowback for shit. Sometimes fucking around does equal finding out.
Find out, yeah. Well, for me, fucking around and finding out means also it's a methodology of learning things the right way. So
yeah.
We talked about that last week, so I won't go into that this week. Okay. Can chipped kudzu turn into kudzu?
Chipped kudzu.
How chipped is it?
It comes, it's like a potato.
Does it have seeds in it?
It's like a potato. It comes from the root.
Tuber, grows
up. Yeah, I think it can be up to 6 to 8 feet away from where it comes out of the ground. Now, you'll see a ton of YouTube videos on how you can use kudzu. it seems pretty miserable. It takes a lot to process it to where you could use it. They use it in a tea. You can make a flour. There's a dude's got a great YouTube channel on how to process anything and utilize it and eat it. But man, it's very labor intensive to get to a process. If you want to get rid of it, they say that you can confine goats in the area and they will eat it down, but that tuber's still there.
We're just having too much fun with
the live chat.
The live chat. You guys are awesome.
That was great. That
was I like great. This one. Made you look. Thanks for the $20.
Thank you, Larry. We sent it to. I don't know which one of us we got it to, but thank you for it.
Yes.
I don't know where we were now. That was
no, no, no. That was just too funny.
It is too funny. Where should we hook round as we head toward the end of this marathon?
Towards the end of, well, what's one thing you're doing right now that's different than last year, like in your life, guys? Is that too deep of a question?
I'm
really good at like side slamming people with too deep of questions.
I mean, business wise, the partnership with Vavor. That's a new thing, and it's been very, very effective. It's also resulting in my wife going, I want to downsize, and shit keeps showing up.
you need another building.
So what we're actually going to do is the stuff that we get from them that we don't really want long term because, like, maybe we already have something that does that. We don't need two of it or whatever. We're actually going to be giving away a lot of it at our workshop this fall, which I think will be cool. Like, I don't need two chamber vacuum machines. So we're going to give away the Vavor chamber vacuum machine. And we're going to do it on Thursday because we do the barter blanket Friday. And that way, if somebody flies in and gets something bulky and heavy that they don't want to pay to ship, they can barter it. So does that answer the question? Because I've not made any major philosophical changes or action changes. I'm pretty satisfied with the way things are. I got Fuck Off Fridays now. Like, you know. That works out. Like, so I don't work on Fridays anymore.
Yeah, he likes to send me pictures of him having fun with his family on Fridays while I'm still.
Yeah. They're like this week, it was like these really badass tacos and some stuff. And we were out fucking off at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and Nicole was working. And I felt really good about that.
You should.
Take the dog to the park for a couple hours and all. I say I don't work. I still work. I just don't work all day long like I do during the week.
Yep. How about you, John?
We're planting more stuff. We just brought in 10 more rabbits, like awesome stock yesterday. We brought in a bunch of KW cages and a 16-foot. So we have a whole nother rabbit area set up now.
You got those blue rabbits that were up for sale?
I bought all of it, every bit of it.
That looked really
good.
The blue
rabbits?
Oh, they're really cool.
I've got two bucks already that are blue like that. Her stock is very, very large, though. It's going to be great to put that DNA into all these other animals. So that's cool. And we're just working all kinds of stuff outside. We took a bunch of stuff out on the front hill and then cattle paneled it off into 50-foot sections. And then we've planted. So we've got sunflower seeds running in there. And we've got pumpkins we're putting in there. And we're building some archways and just doing more stuff out there with that area that I normally mow, so that anytime we have people here, I mow it so that it's not touching your ankles and stuff. But we're planting that all up into usable garden space right now.
I'm making some decisions about what's good for my long-term health and happiness, not necessarily the shorter-term profit. So I just got a bid yesterday to do the concrete on the side of my house so that I can put the pool in.
Yeah.
And that's not something that if you looked at all the priorities around here, you'd be like, why are you doing that now? Because it's time to do it now. But that's actually related to doing more of the things that are working and fewer of the things that are less working, which has been a hard transition for me. Because at the beginning of the year, I was so scattered. It was like nothing made progress because I was trying to do everything. And
how much concrete do you have to put in for that? Like how thick's that concrete got to be for that pool to sit on it?
It's 4 to 6 inches of concrete. It's not so bad. I will verify. It depends on which one I get. But rather than just do the concrete for the pool, there's an addition I plan to do on my house in the next 5 years. So it's concrete for the whole addition.
Yeah.
For the rooms we built around it.
Are
you
going to
build the addition around the pool so the pool's indoors?
Oh, yeah. So it's going to be like a day room. So it's already going to be undercover.
Yeah.
But I plan to redo the roof line on part of my house so it can have sort of a sunroom thing
Yeah,
there, because then you're going to get a lot more use out of it. Plants in the winter and that sort of thing.
Now you can grow bananas.
You get a lot more use out of it because you're not going to want to go outside and swim when it's freaking 14 degrees in January.
Right, and I want to swim all winter long.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're doing is you're making that transition that a lot of us who have sacrificed their whole life struggle with. Like, there is a point where you look at your age and say, well, how much time do I have left? And is stop completely just with the stockpiling of money, and you start to buy some things for your own enjoyment, right? Where most people do that when they're in their 20s, and then they don't have a pot to piss in their 30s.
It was reading the book Outlive that really got me over that hump on this one.
Yeah.
Where I was already like, okay, I need to work out more. And yeah. For me, like, the gym is outside. The gym is in my bedroom. The gym is all over the property.
Yeah.
But that addition will end up being multiple things, one of which is the workout equipment can all be in one place, and the pool is workout equipment. Plus, I just love it. Like, it makes me physically happy, it makes me mentally happy, and having that now means 20 years from now I have a better time, assuming I live that long, right, which I plan to, but you never know. And that's more important than anything else, because I want to be able to do the things I'm doing now in 20 years if I can, and that means that I can't just sit around and not do stuff.
No.
Physically. No. Like, you have to do stuff. So
yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I would have, like, really copped to that 20 years ago, but here we are.
Builder of Castles had a comment there about you're going to have to grow your own food in the future, or you're not going to be able to get food. You know, they're controlling food. I think another aspect of that is, even if you can go to the grocery store, do you believe that there is not poisons in that food? And an example of that is Tennessee just passed a bill in Tennessee that they have to disclose how much vaccination is in produce that is on the shelf. In doing that, the expert witnesses or whoever they were grilling in Congress or wherever that happened at had to admit that there actually is
that it's
produce
there
on the shelf, and there is already mRNA vaccinations in it. They are forcing them to disclose what and how much, because a young child eating that is going to get a much higher dosage than a big adult. So just that, and nutrient density, like Neithi talks about that a lot. Joel Salatin talked about that a lot too. Chicken that you eat now, you eat a fistful of chicken now, you can eat four or five of them, wherein, you know, 20, 30 years ago, that nutrient density in there filled you up, and there is no nutrient density because we're just feeding these animals complete trash.
Yeah.
So in addition to taking control of your own food so that you can, number one, have it, but also to control what you're actually putting in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. That's an interesting thing on a chicken, John. I never really thought about it, but like growing up in Pennsylvania, we did a lot of grouse and pheasant hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a whole grouse or a whole pheasant, you basically have like a Cornish hen, like a small chicken. And if you ate one of those by yourself, you were done. You were full. And it tastes like chicken. Both of them are very chicken-like birds. And you, like, one was plenty for a single person. Man, you give me a little Cornish hen today, I'll eat three of those fuckers, the whole damn thing. And it's exactly what you're saying. Like, those wild animals had that high nutrient density because they certainly weren't heavier in fat. Like, a rough grouse is not a fatty bird. Like, the only fat you're going to get is, like, a little bit around the internal organs in the skin. But they were very filling. And, like, a wood duck, you eat a wood duck, you're good for about 8 hours, man. I mean,
well, I mean, that's why your composting course, just to sell your stuff.
Thank you.
That's why taking a course like that, which is only $40.
Yeah.
Less if you're an MSB member. Helps you figure out how to get the biology going in your soil for the food you are growing, so you continue to have more nutrient-dense food in your life coming off your land, which is part of what this lifestyle is about for me. You know, it's not just food security from the system. The system's broken, and, you know, when I travel, I end up buying things at the store, and I notice immediately that I don't feel as good.
Yeah.
With that stuff. And maybe that means I'm oversensitive, but I don't think so. I think that people just don't feel good most of the time, and they just don't realize it because their normal is different than mine.
How many Americans have you seen that, like, post on social media and all that we went to Europe and we ate our asses off for 3 weeks and we came back and we all lost, like, 7-8 pounds?
And feel better. Yeah.
We feel better. We lost 7-8 pounds and we ate – because we're on vacation. I don't know about everybody else, but for me, when I'm on vacation, if I see something I want to eat, I just fucking eat it. Like – all the shit goes out the window because I'm on vacation, because I only do it once or twice a year. And like, so if I went to Europe with like, to me, like one of the great ways to experience culture is to eat their food. I would eat everything. And then when, all you have to do is like, look at the ingredients on a bag of Doritos sold in the UK or France and look at the ingredients on a bag of Doritos sold in the United States. And then tell me that they're not intentionally poisoning us through our food. Go ahead, make the case to me.
My homestead journey pinpoint, I can pinpoint the day it started, was the day I got home from being 10 days in Germany, 15 pounds lighter and a size down. And then I ate one time the premium organic grass-fed meat that I bought at a grocery store called Four Seasons or New Seasons in Portland, Oregon. And got super sick in my stomach and bloated and started retaining water. And I was like, oh, this is the food's the problem.
The food's the problem.
The food's the problem. And that was before, like that was in the like early 2000s, 2004 yeah. maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disgraceful what they're doing to our citizenry. Like all this crap they did at COVID about saving every life and whatever. And like you're killing 750,000 people a year, at least, with obesity and type 2 diabetes in this country. At least. That's like a conservative number right there. The leading cause of death in this country is obesity. It's not fucking fentanyl. It's not guns. It's not traffic accidents. It's obesity.
The United States is the only place that has Alzheimer's or dementia. Everywhere else they call it diabetes type 3.
I've definitely heard about that, and I've seen some things that give real credence to it. Like this dude, I saw a presentation he did on YouTube, who's a PhD, and they were giving dementia patients large amounts of
creatine's helping that too now. Creatine,
the stuff they make, the fatty acids, the MCTs, MCT oil, right? They gave them like massive doses of MCT oil, and they were doing brain scans on them. And you see literally in a dementia patient, like a hole in their brain where there's no activity. And that's why it's like the temporal lobes are what's going on. And that's why they have like the waking dreams and all. And all they did was give these people like a huge amount of MCT oil. And like all those parts of their brain started lighting back up.
I use C8.
That didn't fix the problem, but it mitigated the issue. And it had an immediate, I mean, like when I say immediate, I mean like 30 minutes after ingestion, it had that effect.
I use C8 MCT oil. It crosses the blood-brain barrier from Perillo Laboratories. I don't have any kind of affiliation with them at all. That's the one that we use. There's a ton of studies right now over the last, I don't know, probably 10 years showing that creatine monohydrate is helping with dementia and on late stage, late age brain function. There's tons of stuff out there right now on that. Somebody asked about water filters. I think he said Berkey.
Meant Berkey.
I use the black filters with the white fluoride filters.
That's the charcoal.
Attack on those. You can still buy them called Water Wicks. There's other companies that make them that will go in there. We just bought a Kangen water system.
Yep. I'll tell you, after being on Kangen water for a weekend a month ago, it was like, okay, I don't care how much this thing is.
So... the one thing I'll say about the MCT oil, if you're going to give that a shot, ease into how much you're taking. Because when we first got it, I think Dorothy made like a bulletproof coffee with like 3 tablespoons of that shit. And she spent a lot of the rest of the day in the bathroom. I'm just saying, like, you can take large amounts of it, but you need to let your body adjust to the fact that you're adding a pure fat, right?
Like, I use a tablespoon with each meal.
Okay, that's not too bad. Yeah. And you're also eating, like when you do it with coffee on an empty stomach, you know the stuff they give you before a colonoscopy? It's
kind of
like that.
Yeah, no.
I've experienced it too. Well, I could do 2 tablespoons. But, oh, mistake.
Back to the Berkey water filters. It's because they're under litigation in California because they have silver in the filters, which is there to help with waterborne organisms. But you can buy the whole Berkey with the filters and get the filters if you want Berkey brand. Or if you have a friend in Canada, in theory, you could make a deal directly with that person to get the filters in Canada and they could mail them to you. So there are knockoff brands making the same kinds of filters, but also if you want Berkey, they are shipping to other countries, just not ours.
scans.
Yeah, they called it a pesticide because it had silver in it.
Yep.
That's what the government did. It's the complete, like, you have to start asking yourself, why are they doing the shit that they're doing, right? Like, don't we have other things you fuckers could be worried about right now, other than if there's some silver flakes in a water filter that everybody knows is safe?
Well, does anybody believe that these government agencies are for your benefit, or do you think that they are detrimental to you? Skanes girl said that's why they promote a low-fat diet. Absolutely. They want you dosed. Like when Germany came in before they invaded, that was a 10-year process, even longer. But they were putting fluoride in the wells of those villages before they came into Poland and different places. That's by design. That's exactly what they're doing. I believe 100% they are there. It's like the people at the top, they want separation. The king used to own all the villages, right? And the villagers would grow crops and they were allowed to have a couple chickens, but they were not allowed to hunt the meat. The king had the gameskeeper, and they would kill you for hunting deer that belonged to the king. It's just like that. That's why they poison your water.
The purpose of the system is what it does, Stafford beer. Like that when I heard that the first time, it answered so many questions for me. Like, well, why do they do this way? Because what it does is the purpose of the system. So the purpose of the system, as far as regulating food and drugs in this country, is to make sure that we have a prematurely aging, sick, compliant population. How do you know that's the purpose? Because it's what it does. The purpose of the education system is to create a compliant, rule-following, obedient class of serfs to serve the state. How do we know that that's what the purpose is? Because it's what it does. And, like, I've seen two reactions to telling people that. Oh, yeah. And, oh, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. Like, you get an immediate response that way from almost anybody you put that on, right? Like, oh, no, like, no, teachers are trying really hard. And the other part of that statement by Stafford Beer, the purpose of the system is what it does. There is no point in arguing the system's intention. Like, it doesn't matter. You can say whatever you want about, but people try to do this. It does. What does it do? And that's its purpose. Because if its purpose was something else, then you would be dissatisfied with the purpose and you would change the way the system works. So when you have a steady system constantly giving you the same result over time, then that system's purpose must be what it's putting out.
Yep, and name it the opposite. Safer Communities Act. Does it make any communities safer?
Patriot Act.
Modernization Act.
Food Safety and Modernization. Nothing modern, nothing safe, nothing to do
that's
with
why,
no food.
That's why there's such an attack on the Amish, because for so long, the citizen of the United States has viewed the Amish as this religious group that's always left alone. They're pacifists. Yep. They can, you know, just compartmentalize. They do what they want. Not anymore. Not anymore. And if they make an example of them and raid their house, that makes you think, oh, I better be careful what I'm doing.
I better not eat the food I produce.
Yeah, it's not even about that. It's just so that it makes you even think about advertising the food that you produce.
Yeah, that's where they get most people. Even like most people in Asian gray markets and stuff, nobody bothers them until they're dumb enough to like post it publicly in a group on Facebook.
Yep.
Like they took a guy down a few years ago. It was doing moonshine. Well, he was publicly advertising. Like you're thumbing your nose at the state publicly. They're going to come after you. They're going to target you. And that dude, he wasn't even making moonshine. He was like, you know, the apple pie stuff and all. It turned out he was using cheap vodka.
Like actual vodka from the store.
Yeah. So he wasn't even making, but he was still selling a spirit without taking a license. So it was a tax violation. Yep. And they did him hard.
I'm sure.
Yeah, Department of Education. Thomas Massey put forth a bill for sponsorship that was one line. It said, we will dissolve the Department of Education. It didn't go anywhere, but it was a great bill that he tried to put in there.
He put out a thing on X today, and it was, I don't think the country's savable at this point, but I'm here in case it is.
Yeah.
That when you get a guy like him saying that, that's pretty dark. And those guys, you know, I don't like them in general, but they are privy to a lot of things that we're not.
The other question is, why do we want to save the country, per se?
You know. No, he didn't. That was the whole tweet.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the country can be saved, but I'm here in case it can. Something to that effect. It was a very short one-liner. But yeah, I mean, one of the things I've been hearing about too a lot lately is how when these guys that are outsiders do get elected, they get to talk.
Yep.
Okay, just there's a fairly old interview with Jesse Ventura about that, like when he became governor, like all these guys from the CIA showed up and gave him the talk.
They opened the file with all the pictures of your children and all their school friends and everything.
Yeah. And they also, like, they tell you a bunch of things that you need to know because you think you can change this. But if you, here's all the disastrous consequences, and here's what this country that we're spying on is really trying to do. Like, and you have no way to know if that information is accurate or not. It's probably a blend of truth and complete fallacy bullshit. It's all about controlling people. And he said he basically got the vibe that if you would have just said, hey, go fuck yourself, that you're going to end up assassinated. Whether it's true or not doesn't even matter. Just that's the vibe you get. You start, like, that shit eats away at people, especially if they have families. It's like John said, they'll show you, like, your whole family and, you know.
Do you guys remember last year when the substation in North Carolina got shot up by three people and the power was out for 2 weeks? All those communities around there were soft dudes. Those are all, you know, CAG guys and SF guys and such. Pat Mack lives over there, for instance. Are you aware that about a month ago, this came out probably a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, a colonel from 5th Special Forces Group realized somebody was in the woodlines taking pictures of his two children playing in the backyard. He circles around, has some words, ends up smoking this dude, puts five rounds in this guy. They call the police or somebody base, I don't know, I don't think it was on base, it's off base housing. Somebody grabs up his partner who is escaping down the road. And these guys are both Chechen. They are in the States illegally, apparently. They are working for a power company. And talking to culprit number two, he said, we were just taking pictures of the work that we did on these utilities to send home to our family. They were in they had no uniform, but they had like some bags and stuff. So they search down the company that these guys say they work for. They're all Chechens. And apparently this has been happening. There's pictures being taken of bases. They're arresting Chinese immigrants with telephoto lenses and stuff, taking pictures of ammunition storages. Camp Pendleton 6 months ago lit a dude up. Like, it looked like they hit him with a Mark 19 or something. The car was completely engulfed on fire, and they deployed the rams. So there's this SUV stuck up in the air, completely on fire. And these have been happening, but there's like radio silence. It's not being reported mainstream. It's being reported, you're seeing it on TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah, I've had some stuff come in about that kind of shit too. And I think it's legit. I think it's really going on. I mean, did you see the one dude, what was it, about 2.5 months ago that was crossing the border? He was clearly a Middle Eastern.
Said, you'll know my name pretty soon.
You don't know who I am, but you're going to know who I am? Like, what we're doing is mass suicide.
Yeah.
It's Texas, suicide of a country.
In Texas, there's an area, I think it's 20 square miles, that BlackRock has built all this shanty town housing and stuff and all these trailers. And it's all illegals in there.
Yeah.
And they are writing loans to all of these non-U.S. citizens through BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, whatever. But the guys are flying around in helicopters showing how massive this area is.
Yeah.
And it's just sitting there just doing their thing.
There is no good to come from this. And it does seem like it's a multi-pronged approach. Like, if you look at Ukraine right now, like I'm saying, I think they're going to just move in massive immigration and gut that country. That's the plan.
It's your religion of peace over there.
Biller Plassels was answering a question I asked, because we love One America. The concept is, I was asking why we're trying to preserve it. My point with that is all of these things we're talking about going on right now, we will end up not preserving our ideals by preserving the country.
Yeah.
That's what happens next, is we have to preserve the country at all costs, including the costs of the freedom of the people.
See, I know I'm not supposed to say this, I'm supposed to be the most patriot or whatever. I don't give a fuck what we call it.
Right.
I don't care if it's called America. I don't care if it's named after a dude that hung out with Columbus or not. Right. I don't care what it's called. What I care about are the principles of freedom and liberty and self-determination. You can call it goddamn the moon if you want to, as long as we have those principles. So that's what I'm defending. And if that results in the country continuing as we know it, great. And if it doesn't, so be it. Like, I'm not married to a name. Like, I'm married to an ideal that people have a right to determine things for themselves, which is my biggest problem with my government, is that is heretical versus the United States government, and not just here. In fact, I think we do far more interfering with people's right to determination around the world than we do here. We're always at the periphery of our empire, which is how you have empires implode. Like, look at every empire that ever collapsed and tell me we're not doing the exact same thing.
East of Houston.
You know, it's fun to go back and listen to CJ's presentation from SRF just about a year ago.
Yeah.
He was like, he looks this.
He looks like he's doing pretty well right now.
He's had a hard year.
Here's the six agreed upon by scholars commonalities of empires amid collapse. Economic decline, military defeat, political corruption and inefficiency, social and cultural decay, external pressures and invasions, environmental and health crises. Now, tell me what we lack out of that list.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, like, that's what I say. Like, this is the collapse. You're looking at it. You can't see it. It's too big. It's too big to see.
Beth Emily says Oklahoma has the same thing by Chinese illegals. You guys, maybe you know, maybe you don't. I think it's about 50 square miles way out in Idaho. It's Chinese sovereign territory. It is literally Chinese law, Chinese communist country, yeah. Slave labor. They manufacture all of your fast food uniforms, and they have done so for at least over three decades. If you look this up, it is their own sovereign territory inside the United States, and it has been there a long ass time.
It's like an Indian reservation for Chinese.
Yeah. It has their own power generating facilities, their own stores, everything.
Oklahoma, Chinese and Russian mafias are busy. What are they doing? Are they taking over the cannabis shops like Tulsa King?
Well, they're running all your credit card scams and all of your bank scams and stuff.
Those aren't fun to get caught in. We've got a gas station here locally that every week somebody's like, my card got taken at this mm-hmm. gas station. Don't go there.
Yeah, it happened here in town with one of the weed shop, but vape shop, liquor store, something like that. And they had 100 people got hit. And when they chased it down, they actually chased it down to a crew that was running up and down the interstate, multiple states, and buying gift cards and stuff. And they actually traced it back to Russian organized crime out of Atlanta.
Interesting. Was that just putting the readers in the gas stations that are fake readers or?
No, they actually sat outside and were able to capture all the information coming through an unsecure damn network.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That might be what's happening at that gas station here.
We've had some of our gas
stations. They say it's the readers, but I'm sure the gas station has been on that at this point.
Well, if it's a reader, like I could see a reader at a gas station, right? But yeah. Inside a point of payment service, that's got to – you have an employee involved or it's something else.
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of major hack. Or
and
something.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that it's an employee. Every single time we travel to Atlanta for Blade Show, I have multiple cards on the same account. Amanda has one card that we only use when we go and we hand that card to a server. It gets compromised every single time we're there. And I have those cards because they're going to have to turn that card off. And having multiple cards, it doesn't render that account completely useless. But every single time.
That card number, right?
Okay, every time, Las Vegas or Atlanta, it gets hit every single trip.
Almost every time we went to California with that.
Yeah, more and more you'll notice that the restaurants are requiring the server to bring the payment service to the table. That way, that card never leaves your site that way.
Yeah, because those guys have skimmers, too, and they just skim your card while they're running your bank.
Yeah, absolutely. They're selling it. They got a dude working in the restaurant everybody brings their cards to, and they give them per card, or the dude involved actually gets a percentage, a higher pay rate.
That's why, like, I'm not for getting rid of servers, but I love the little kiosks that some of the restaurants have where I can just pay right there, mm-hmm. and I keep my – like, and part of why I like that is – I'm, like, pretty easy to please as a customer at a restaurant. If my food's hot and on time, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But you know what blows it for me? Like, everything was perfect. Now all I want to do is pay and fucking leave. And, like, my server vanishes. Like,
yeah,
and you can't find it, right? And you're like, hey, I just want to get like, I'll find your server. But if I have that headache, I'm out of there.
Yeah.
But that's definitely going to change the tip a lot, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'll ruin your tip, man. I'm a good tipper until that shit happens. Like,
yeah.
When I want to leave, now you're messing with my time. And, like, yeah. And Roger says RFID tap to pay can be read from a distance. Indeed. Indeed. Like, I always break mine so it can't tap to pay. And then I just hand it to him. You got to run it somehow, man. I don't have tap to pay.
Yep. Okay, well, we're coming on 2 hours. That's our usual time. Let's go once around the horn, starting with you, John.
SOE Tactical Gear. That's the website, soetacticalgear.com. I do a live video every night at 9 o'clock. We talk about whatever you guys want. We do a different T-shirt every week. We never rerun that design, and we do 120 pieces. They sell out typically in a couple days. Super easy to find. It's SOE Tactical Gear everywhere.
All right, Jack.
I am Jack Spirico of the Survival Podcast. We're about to have our 16th anniversary. We'll have that before we have another coffee chat. That'll be on the 20th of the month. We'll have been business for 16 years now. And we've done just this week, we hit episode 3,500. So we've got 3,500 episodes of the show dating all the way back to 2008, covering just about anything you could want to learn about. And if you want to check out my members program, I have it on sale this week. It's $35 instead of $50 a year. And discount code TSPC. And if you want to sign up for that, you can. If you want to help support the show, and the discounts you get will give you your money back in spades.
Awesome. I'm Nicole Soss from the Living Free in Tennessee podcast, and apparently my light just ran out of batteries as I started talking. I have a question for you all. Did something that was said on this live stream change how you think about something? Did it make your life better? That's the question I have for you. If it did, you have the chance to meet all three of us in person in October at Special Operations Equipment, October 5th and 6th in Camden, Tennessee. And tickets are on early bird sale right now for $85. It's the Self-Reliance Festival. We've got an all-star lineup that's going to be fantastic. And we are there the whole time, which means you have time to interact with us. If you really want to interact with us, consider taking one of the workshops before. That information is at selfrelianceFestival.com. And if you're interested in following a podcast that comes out 3 times a week, Living Free in Tennessee, check that out at livingfreeintennessee.com. We will see you next week. Have a great week.
Are they gonna bail you out or just run you around? They said you should have a house. The American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay.